Welcome back to our second hour of World Crisis Radio. Webster Tarpley here in Washington, D.C. Now, I promised you more of this interesting prognosis of the economy as seen from retail by Davidovits, but we're always interested in getting an update from the all-important legal front. If you go back and look at what has happened this summer, the crumbling of Obama began in late July, August, with a flare-up of interest in the birth certificate question. And, of course, that goes back to something that happened at the Supreme Court a year ago when Phil Berg of Philadelphia sought emergency injunctive relief before the Democratic National Convention to stop the nomination of somebody who couldn't prove that he was a citizen. So, as always, we're glad to welcome Phil Berg. Thanks for being with us on this last weekend of August, Phil.
It's my pleasure. We're now in our 13th month, about to go into our 14th month, on a situation that, unfortunately, we shouldn't have to deal with. I mean, this situation should have been brought up by the national media 2 years ago. It should have been brought up by the candidate himself, Obama. He knows that this is the biggest hoax ever contemplated against the United States of America in our history. And just the fact that he's hiding it shows that he knows he's wrong. He knows that he's a fraud, a phony. And I'm not, you know, obviously I'm very strong words here. If he thought there was some question, he should have brought it to the attention 2 years ago to the courts and asked for clarification. Obviously he knows he's not qualified. And I'm proud to be the leader in this. Just this past week, Philadelphia Weekly, with the hugest weekly in Pennsylvania, declared me the alpha birther, the first.
Congratulations.
Now, other things are working on either next week or the following week. I'm not sure. York Magazine is doing a story on this. Their photographer was down yesterday and spent 3 hours taking some photos of me, and I didn't break the camera. So I will be there in that magazine. And then just this morning I received a telephone call from a writer from Philadelphia Magazine. So the story, as a story, it is really getting bigger, and it's getting, we're starting to get better coverage. For your listeners, I love what occurred several weeks ago. The headline from Huffington Post was, "The only thing worse than birthers," and I don't know if I like it or not, but they're calling us birthers, anyone that's questioning Obama. It said, "The only thing worse than birthers are the non-birthers," which I thought was a great headline because they're realizing that the non-birthers, the people that are sticking up for Obama, stating that he's a natural born, which is a phony, which is a lie, because they know they've never seen documentation, but they're making fools of themselves. Like Chris Matthews waving a piece of paper saying this is his birth certificate. Hey, Chris, no one has seen his birth certificate, so you don't have it. You haven't seen it. Stop waving a piece of paper. You look like a nut when you're doing it. And the word is that there's a office that there's pressure from the White House not to discuss this topic, and the pressure has been the top executives of the major news stations throughout the country. And think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Where's our free press? This topic should be the number one story in every newspaper in this country and every radio and TV station, and it's not. And there's people like Webster Tarpley who really deserves credit for keep bringing this topic to the forefront, and the other people. I've been on probably 400 radio shows around the country, and we will hit the mainstream. I think when we can raise the public attention, that's why the most important thing for the listeners out there to do, in my opinion, is to go to my website, obamacrimes.com. That's obamacrimes.com. Because we have the most truthful, honest information out there regarding this topic. We have it maintained for the past year, over a year. And we need everyone to go there and send it to everyone on your address book and send it to ask them to send it to everyone on their address book. We have a responsibility now to get this topic out. When we can raise the public awareness to 75 million people, we can force the issue to the national media and we can force Obama out. Remember what happened with Nixon with Watergate. Watergate was a small break-in. What got Nixon was the cover-up. Well, we now have an amazing cover-up going on by Obama. There's word that there's an office in the White House that is directing the operations of anything on the Internet and anything out there to try to negate it. But, you know, the simplest way to prove this was when I filed my first lawsuit last year, August 21st, 2008, I said, prove me wrong. Show me a certified copy of your full copy of your birth certificate, and I'll go away. A full copy of a birth certificate includes things like the length of the baby, the weight of the baby, the hospital, the doctor's name, the doctor's signature. None of this has ever been put forth. So I don't know who's kidding who at this point. Obama is a phony. We're not only in a financial crisis, we're in a constitutional crisis because everything he's doing is void or voidable. And as he's decreasing in the polls now, I think we're getting more and more attention because people are saying Obama speaks out of both sides of his mouth, and they're realizing that, which is the most important issue, because this is a constitutional issue, and if he can't be come forth with the truth about whether he's natural born, the requirements for the Constitution are very simple. 35 years of age, lived in this country for 14 straight years, and be a natural born citizen. He's not. He knows he's not. He's a phony. Why else has he sealed all his records? We know nothing about him. I'm sure his college records, when they're unsealed, will reveal that he filed for and received foreign aid either from Kenya or from Indonesia. Significant other also is the fact that his name, his legal name, is probably not Barack Hussein Obama. We have records on ObamaCrimes.com which show his school records from Indonesia, which indicates his name as he was adopted. His name is Barry Sotoro, S-O-E-T-O-R-O. Well, it still indicates his nationality Indonesia and his religion Islam. Well, if he hasn't legally changed his name since that time, then he's committed fraud upon fraud by, number one, signing his name in all the jurisdictions across this country to run for president and signing his name being sworn in under that name. You know, when you adopt a child, anyone and many of your listeners have, the child takes your last name. And that's their legal name unless they legally change it. So unless Obama didn't legally change his name, he's a fraud. Also, the fact is that he lost his citizenship if he was not born when he became adopted in Indonesia. Well, people are saying you can't do it at a young age. Well, yes, you can. The thing is, you can reaffirm your allegiance between the ages of 18 and 23. He could have reaffirmed his allegiance to the United States if he had been national, which I don't believe he was. But there's no indication he did that either. So that's a short synopsis. We have one hearing scheduled for October 26, 2009, the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. But we're waiting patiently for a hearing on our sealed case, which has been unsealed, where I have sued Barry Sotoro, stating that he is an illegal alien. Not only is he not eligible to be president, but his term as a United States Senator was a fraud, and he owes back to the government about $1 million. The False Claim Act case, which I filed, which is usually done in Medicaid or Medicare fraud cases. And right now we have a motion for reconsideration alleging that Eric Holder, the Attorney General of the United States, is in conflict of interest. If there was ever a conflict of interest, it is Eric Holder, who was on Obama's campaign committee, number one. Number two, he was on the select committee of three people that was selected vice president, which ended up selecting Vice President Bush. And number three, he's the Attorney General of the United States, which is the highest law enforcement officer and who communicates and advises the president. So if that's not a conflict, I don't know what. The judge has delayed in scheduling a hearing. I think he doesn't know what to do, but we're waiting for a hearing in the United States District Court in the District of Columbia. How's that for coverage?
Wonderful. So let me just get it straight. October 26th is the court date in Philadelphia.
Correct.
So we want to mark our calendars for October 26th in Philadelphia, Third Circuit Court of Appeals. And sometime soon, we don't know when, Washington, D.C., the False Claims Act. Now, let me just go back. There's a special office in the Obama White House that focuses, has its main task, is to try to suppress news about Obama's lack of a birth certificate, his disqualification to be president, and so forth. Is this correct?
That's the word. That's the report from two investigators who've been investigating it for months. They were on the Laurie Rook show last week. Judy from the Canadian Free Press and his name here.
Hang on, Phil. I just want to try to get those names because I think people will want to follow up. We'll be back in a minute.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Thank you.
Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. We're just talking to Phil Berg of Philadelphia, the alpha birther, according to Philadelphia Weekly. So, Phil, can you just repeat the sources on that special White House office?
It was done on the I'm not in my office now, but it was done on the Dr. Laurie Roth show, R-O-T-H. So, if, you know, I hate sending people away from your website, but if they check that out, it's a Doug Hartman, I think. I'm not sure. And a Judith, I can't think of her last name. She's from the Canadian Free Press, but both of them have investigated this for the last 8 or 9 months. And, I've confirmed it from another source too, but, wouldn't be surprised. There's an office in there just dealing with this birth issue. Anything comes up, they're out there trying to counter it. And that's where the pressure has been placed from that office on the various executives of the major networks not to cover this story, which makes sense if you think about what happened with Lou Dobbs recently. He was talking about it on the TV, and the head of sort of squashed it. He said not, but Lou hasn't really talked about it recently. He does talk about it every day on his, or many times still on his radio show in the afternoon, WOR Radio in New York. But the Laurie Roth show is the way to do it, and I was just on there this week. Starting next week, I'm going to be on every Monday from 6-7, I think, Eastern Standard Time. It'll be
the Laurie Roth, R-O-T-H, Laurie Roth radio program. And Canadian Free Press sounds like they're of interest too, huh?
Yes, yes. And you know what? Everyone should have the interest in this. I mean, this is, think about it, everyone. Remember, this is a cover-up now. What is he hiding? This stuff should be out. He spent over $1 million. He's obviously hiding something. And people around the world are laughing at us. And this is a very important topic. Everyone, go to my website, ObamaCrimes.com. Spread the word. If you can make a contribution, it's costing us in now our 14th month of doing this, and we're going to continue our this so the truth comes out. And again, I've said many times, if I'm wrong, Obama, show them I'm wrong. But I think the more it goes on, the longer it plays out, it's obvious that we're not wrong. And when all is said and done, in my opinion, Barack Obama, actually Barry Santoro, Michelle Obama, Howard Dean, the former head of the Democratic National Committee, other officials of the Democratic National Committee, senior campaign officials, and now senior administration officials who all know about this should be subjected to our criminal justice system, tried, and those convicted should go to jail. And if Obama's convicted, he should go to jail, and then he should be deported. And this sounds like tough words. People are saying, well, you know, they won't do it because they're fearful that there'll be demonstrations in the street. Well, when the truth comes out, I hope to call together all the religious leaders in this country and political leaders and hold a massive news conference and say, what are you going to do? You're going to destroy property, injure and kill people? For what? The responsibility here goes back to one person, Barack Obama, Barry Sotoro. He's not a dummy. He went to Occidental. He went to Columbia University, Harvard Law School. He was head of the Harvard Law Review. He taught constitutional law for years. So don't tell me he doesn't know what's going on. So we're going to keep up the good fight, and we appreciate your efforts.
So let me just this special office now. This reminds me of Nixon, and this sounds like the plumbers. The plumbers, of course, were the special in-house White House unit that was supposed to stop leaks from the federal government. Of course, it turned to other things. Now here we have a combination of the plumbers and the enemies list. In other words, a special bureaucracy in the White House which reaches out to threaten and intimidate the press, and the press isn't reporting it. And we've got to turn to the Canadian Free Press and Laurie Roth radio show to get what these media characters should be reporting it. MSNBC should say, today we got a threatening phone call from the Obama White House that we should stop talking about his birth certificate. And, of course, they don't do it. In other words, this is a level of corruption. With Nixon, the press were the enemies. Now it looks like they're trying to set up a kind of a cartel, right? The Obama cartel of controlled Wall Street news media that don't report anything that is damaging to the Messiah. I think that's amazing. Anyway, we're going to get New York Magazine. We'll be watching New York Magazine, and we'll be watching Philadelphia Magazine. And we invite everybody to go to ObamaCrimes.com and make a contribution to keep this important work going, because this is not foundation funded. We'll see you next week, Phil. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Now, I think that's really interesting news. So we'll be looking into that, obviously. A special bureaucracy in the Obama White House. How about that? Remember the thesis here, Obama equals the economy of a Carter, the lost wars of an LBJ, and the police state practices of a Nixon. And there it is again, the new plumbers, Obama's plumbers in the White House. Now, let's just wrap up with what the retail industry sales guy, Howard Davidowitz, reports. Again, retail is terrible. 100,000, hundreds of thousands of stores will close. The consumer is completely indebted. The consumer is now losing his job. The U.S. is in a debt spiral. The only stores that are going to do well are Family Dollar, Dollar Tree, and 99 cents, as well as Kohl's, because of their cost control. Looks like even Walmart won't be cheap enough in the depression we're going into. Hundreds of banks will fail. Well, that seems to be the consensus. 1,000 banks will blow out of the 8,500 or so left. The banks, says Davidowitz, are holding tons and tons of toxic assets. This is the Elizabeth Warren report, that the toxic assets are still kept on the balance sheets but off the balance sheets of these banks. Many banks will be hit by default, and that is because credit card people who hold credit cards are going to default. Student loans are going to default. Auto loans are going to default. And when all those defaults add up, that hits the banks. And then the commercial real estate situation is, to put it mildly, a catastrophe. So we have the REITs, Real Estate Investment Trusts, REITs. A couple of these REITs have been on the verge of bankruptcy, Vornado and Simon Properties. They have found financing in order to survive, but other REITs will not be so fortunate, and they will go down. And now here's a new term to learn for the Depression, jingle mail. Jingle mail is when you're facing foreclosure, you give up, you get out of town, and to avoid criminal charges, you put the keys to the building or the house into an envelope, you put that into the mail, and you send it to the bank. So properties are being dumped by developers, and they're sending the keys back to the banks. Now, we've heard repeatedly, according to Deutsche Bank and other surveys, that and Elizabeth Warren, too, I think, pointed to this, that in 2010, 2011, 2012, you got a huge amount of commercial real estate mortgages coming due. The rate of default is going to be 50 to 60%. So this depression has only begun to lash the world. We'll be back in a minute.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
So 1,000 banks will blow over the next 2 years. Tremendous real estate, commercial real estate crisis, continuing contraction, current unemployment 21%. Congressional Budget Office, CBO, estimates 2.3 to 3 million more unemployed in 2010. This will take the official rate well over 10-11%. And as a result, in response to all this, what does Obama do? Obama reappoints helicopter Ben Bernanke to another term at the Fed. Hope and change. A Republican nominee, a reactionary, a monetarist, an Austrian practically, a failure. It is helicopter Ben who has presided over $24 trillion of bailouts to zombie banks, zombie hedge funds, derivatives mongers, hedge fund hyenas, and so forth. Notice that 0% lending at the Fed is available only to banks, only to hedge funds,
only to financial institutions. Nothing for Detroit, nothing for Silicon Valley, nothing for biotech, nothing for pharma, nothing for anybody except banks. The government of Wall Street, by Wall Street, for Wall Street. It is the banker's dictatorship, the dictatorship of finance capital in the most extreme form we've ever seen. Industrial capital crushed, commercial capital crushed, as we've been hearing. So now Obama has merged himself, he has amalgamated himself with the worst features of the Bush regime financial policies, and he's done it more than one way. Geithner, of course, at the Federal Reserve of New York City, the New York Federal Reserve District, presided over that infamous meeting on the Lehman weekend, September 15th, 2008. This was that secret cabal with all the people, Vikram Pandit, Jamie Dimon, Ken Lewis, and so forth, right, representatives of the Federal Reserve and the Treasury. That is where the idea of the bailout obviously emerged. And that was the idea then to let Lehman go down when Barclays Bank, after more or less indicating that they would buy it, dumped it, making the crisis irreversible very late in the day. The whole story to be told about Perfide Albion, the perfidious British, and the role of Barclays Bank in bringing down Lehman Brothers within, of course, the framework of a real panic that was undoubtedly going on, which had roots reaching back decades. So that's Geithner. Geithner was then put in at the Treasury, and now this was Obama's chance to say, well, I'm different from Bush. I'm not the same kind of Wall Street puppet that Bush was, because Bush was too. I'm at least a different kind of Wall Street puppet. But no, we've got to have Bernanke now resubmitted. Well, get your testimony ready. Time to demonstrate, time to testify against Bernanke, because at least he's got to go through Senate confirmation hearing. So this is now the absolute bankruptcy of the Obama regime. It couldn't be clearer. All that stuff about hope and change can't fool anybody now, can it? I don't see how. So even the left liberals will have their eyes opened at the rate that we're currently going. Now let's look at healthcare for a minute here. We have limited time. The death boards, the death panels, do they exist? You bet they exist. The Obama healthcare proposal includes IMAC and MedPAC. We've talked about this. MedPAC on steroids and IMAC. What are these? IMAC, Independent Medicare Advisory Council. It is demanded by the Malthusian genocidal bureaucrat Peter Orszag of the OMB, the budget director. This is the bean counter. This is the pointy-headed bureaucrat, the genocidalist, because that's what he is. The guy who says you should not have a colonoscopy, you should not have an MRI, you should not have a CAT scan, you should not have a PSA, you should not have a mammogram. Forget all that. That's too expensive. We'll give you some pills for the pain when it turns out that you had cancer or whatever it was. So to prevent increases in spending, Orszag has demanded, and this is in legislation, there's a IMAC Act of 2009, supported by Obama, with Orszag leading the charge. The Independent Medicare Advisory Council is there to cut costs at your expense. Your operation, your procedure, your test will be disallowed based on this monstrosity of the quality adjusted years of life, right? QALY, the qualies. Quality-adjusted life years. In other words, if you're 75 and obese or a smoker, goodbye. You will be subjected to triage, meaning euthanasia. Now, the big opposition, as I've always argued here, the people going to these town hall meetings, in their majority, are attempting to defend New Deal programs. They want to defend the New Deal and the Great Society because those are their economic rights. Some argue, Ron Paul argues, that you don't have the right to health care. Well, you do have a right to health care. It is an inalienable right. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What does life mean? Well, the definition of that has evolved, and right now it includes longevity and therefore health care. If it's not a right, it's just a commodity, and commodities are left to the market. And, well, you know, you may get your new car or you may not. That's fine. But when it comes to, you don't have a right to a new car, but you do have a right to health care, because if the market, for example, markets, of course, are notoriously unreliable. Markets are insane. Markets have bubbles. Markets have crashes to correct the bubbles. They have disintegrations. They have breakdown crises. The markets are completely tempestuous. It is absolutely impossible to leave the right to life, guaranteed through the construction of the Constitution based on the Declaration of Independence. That can't be left to a market. It's too important. Luxury goods, whether you get them or not, even amenities, whether you get them or not, those are not rights. But the right to health care is a right. And that is what a lot of these people are concerned about. There are a lot of loudmouth Republican operatives, foundation operatives, and think tank operatives, and public relations firms operatives who try to hijack the town meetings with their primitive, reactionary, monstrous ideologies. But a lot of people are there is that they've understood Obama is attacking Medicare. Obama is attacking the New Deal. He's not FDR. He's the anti-FDR. He's not the New Deal. He's the anti-New Deal. Now, the House bill approved by Barkey calls for $500 to $600 billion in Medicare cuts. Now, let's look at the situation. Michael Steele, the reactionary Republican from Maryland here, has given an interview where he says, well, we don't agree with Obama's plan, but there's one thing we can agree on. We want targeted Medicare cuts. That's what we've been arguing here the whole time. The entire Republican Party and the Obama gang agree that they want to strip you of your economic rights under the New Deal, that you should not have Medicare. You should not have the right to health care. So Steele essentially says the compromise that he can see is to destroy Medicare, because on the one hand, the baby boom cohort, the post-war generation, is now approaching 65. They don't want to pay. This is the entire urgency. The reason that the current situation is unsustainable is that after looting Medicare for all these years, right, by Bush and by others, you now have a time when you've got to provide some health care, and they want to weasel out of that under these ideologies. Notice also the Blue Dog Democrats, worse than useless, their main demand is also to gouge Medicare. We had a moment of honesty here in Fort Collins, Colorado, Congresswoman Betsy Markey saying, we're going to have massive Medicare cuts. People will have to have sacrifices. So that's the reality. We'll be back in a minute.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. Let's see how much we can get into our last segment. So Fort Collins, Colorado, Congresswoman Betsy Markey admits publicly that there will be massive Medicare cuts, sacrifices. The looting of Medicare is the heart and soul of the Obama plan. So now it's time to mobilize. Get out there saying, defend Medicare against Obama. The way you do that is with the Tobin tax. A 1% Tobin tax on Wall Street speculators can fund all of this. It can produce between $10 and $20 trillion a year, at least initially, until speculation goes out of style. $10 to $20 trillion a year for the states, for the budget crisis. We've got it going in California, in virtually every state. There are massive killer cuts coming down. Obama's not lifting a finger. He's shoveling more trillions to Wall Street. So it's time to mobilize. Don't let those right-wing loudmouths hog all the attention. Get out there and say, we want to defend Medicare. And indeed, that's this the woman who said, get your hands off my Medicare, knows very well that it's a government program. What she's saying is, Obama, you Wall Street puppet, get your hands off my rights recognized under the New Deal. And again, I think that's a pretty clear moral and political dividing line. So that, I think, is the secret. If senior citizens turn massively against Obama, they're going to say, we demand Medicare with no cuts. And if the sacrifices, Wall Street makes the sacrifices with a 1% Tobin tax on their speculative financial turnover. A couple of international items. Internationally, China and India have jointly rejected in a very emphatic way the U.S. blackmail of those two countries and others on this carbon insanity. This entire global warming fraud reveals itself as a genocidal ploy by the Anglo-American ruling class, bankers, and others, joined by the usual bums from the European Central Bank, the Eurogarchs and Eurocrats, and so forth. So with China and India saying, we reject any binding carbon limits that would strangle our economic development and perpetuate poverty in our countries, this Copenhagen conference in December is on track to be a complete fiasco, and it can't be complete enough to suit me. It's got to be an absolute failure and fiasco and debacle for these green fascists that are attempting to impose genocide worldwide under the cover of their touching concern for the polar bears. A related development, in Europe, the fight against the Lisbon Treaty, that is to say, against, in the way I read it, against the oligarchical rule of the European Central Bank. There's an important demonstration on the 5th of September in Berlin. It's organized by Jürgen Elsässer. Jürgen Elsässer, very well-known writer, leading the Volksinitiativa. It's VOLKSINITIATIVE, Volksinitiativa, if you will, .info. You can find out where and precisely when this important demonstration against the Lisbon Treaty on the 5th of September is going to happen in Berlin. There'll be somebody from Ireland. Ireland is the country that has already rejected the Lisbon Treaty once, and they may indeed reject it again with a second referendum, which will be held in October. We'll be following this story from week to week. Let's say a couple of words about Ted Kennedy. Ted Kennedy's career is mixed. Positive achievements, certainly, that he always fought for the minimum wage. That's a positive. Again, economic rights for the people, some kind of connection to the New Deal tradition. Head Start, nutritious breakfast for poor children so they can learn. Great. WIC, women, infants, children, high-protein meals for expectant mothers and infants so they don't suffer brain damage, birth defects, and all the rest. Great. Meals on Wheels, hot food for senior citizens who can't get it themselves. Fine. SCHIP, absolutely critical. Child health insurance program run through the states, should be more funded, should be more widespread, but a great thing. Family and Medical Leave Act, one of the few things that Clinton managed to do in the first term. If you're sick or you have to go to a funeral, you can't be fired. National Military Child Care, daycare and some meals for the children of people who are in the armed forces. Great. AmeriCorps, find ways to make ghetto youth employable. Great. COBRA, you can at least get medical insurance when you lose your job. Problem with that is the prices are very, very high. Stopping Bork, great. Bork was a reactionary monster, a monster spewing Austrian, Chicago, and Buckleyite filth in all directions, a quasi-fascist. I mean, so reactionary, he was off the charts. So that was great. Opposing stupid Reagan and his free market Wall Street dictatorship, great. And voting against the Iraq War, Kennedy did that too. So that's all fine. Those are all good things. Then you get to the other side. HMOs have not been very good. Everything green that he was for, not good. Multiculturalism, not good. Airline deregulation, an absolute disaster. No Child Left Behind, too much with tests and not funded. And worst of all, the Obama endorsement that Ted Kennedy in the decadence of his old age was instrumental in throwing the election to Obama. If he had refused to endorse Obama, we'd be all better off today. But let's see, what is the thing, the one thing that we could imitate today? In 1979, Teddy Kennedy could see
that Carter was an absolute disaster run by the Trilateral Commission, destroying the country, destroying the Democratic Party. So Teddy Kennedy launched a very successful, for a while, primary challenge against Carter. He challenged him from inside the party. He said, Carter, you're not a Democrat. You're a banker's boy. You're a puppet. Teddy Kennedy won 10 primaries. If it had not been for the baggage of Chappaquiddick, he probably could have taken the nomination away from Carter and perhaps defeated Reagan. That would have been much better for the United States than those 8 years, actually 12 years, of the Reagan-Bush reactionary nightmare when the deficit was tripled. These people today at the Tea Parties who say, yeah, we're concerned about fiscal discipline. Cheney himself said, Reagan proved that deficits don't matter. Yeah, he did. He tripled the national debt. Tripled the national debt. Even Obama has terrible things. We now know that it's going to be a $10 trillion deficit, perhaps some, according to some, $11 trillion, $14 trillion over the next 10 years. But to triple the deficit in 8 years the way that Reagan did is unbelievable. Tax cuts for the rich, anyone? And it's also a family tradition. In 1968, what was the greatest thing that Bobby Kennedy ever did was that when he saw with the Eugene McCarthy very good showing in New Hampshire that Lyndon B. Johnson was extremely weak over Vietnam, Bobby Kennedy finally pulled himself together and came forward to challenge LBJ and essentially force him out, and then he would have gone on to defeat Hubert Humphrey if he had not been assassinated. So the good Kennedy family tradition is that when you've got a Democrat in the White House who's an absolute disaster, Carter in all ways, LBJ, a real tragedy because he had real progressive credentials and then threw it all away with the Vietnam War. The Kennedy tradition is when you've got a disastrous, catastrophic, abortive presidency, then you challenge them in the primaries, and that's what we need now. We've got to have a Democratic primary challenge to Obama. Now, let me recommend, go to my website, Topley.net. We're going to be upgrading Topley.net, but right now you can find all the books there. Topley.net, Obama the Postmodern Coup, Obama the Unauthorized Biography, Surviving the Cataclysm, 9/11 Synthetic Terror, the Bush Biography from 1992. You can get it for free. Just download it if you want to print it out yourself. If you want the printed book, that's available too through a link there. So Tarpley.net, Tarpley.net. And if you want to see these recent documents for intervention at the town hall meetings, go to askindependent.org. There you find the call for a left anti-war opposition and the intervention paper for town hall meetings. And with that, we will see you next week.